Hi, happy Thursday, everyone, and welcome to the Funhouse Podcast. I'm Ryan, your host. I'm here with my co-host, Lindsay Washburn. Say hello, Lindsay.
Hi.
Lindsay. Say hello to my guest, Jacob Fullerton. Hello, Jacob.
Hi. I thought you were telling her to say hi to me.
Yeah, hi, Jacob.
No, I'm telling you to say hello to the people.
Hello.
We're going to be talking about a very important episode of television here today. Two episodes, in fact. And then we're going to have a very special guest join us for the second half of the podcast.
What?
We'll be coming halfway through.
Is it somebody from Survivor?
No, I wish.
Is it Heidi?
No, I
is
wish.
Is it Claire?
No, I wish. It's somebody else. A big surprise. But first, before we get to that, we're going to have our first time to ever show our new graphics for our award-winning acclaimed segment of Simpin' for Survivor.
Whoa.
Hit it, Rick. God damn, that looked cool.
Wow.
That was so cool.
We should put something for our audio listeners, like where it says Simpin' for Survivor. Anyway, guys, that said Simpin' for Survivor and really cool graphics that our intern Tom made us, and I'm really happy with it. What did y'all think about those graphics?
That was
beautiful.
Cool.
Looks like most of them were probably made by somebody who was hired by CBS.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Because they did the logo for Survivor.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, good point. That's about all that Lindsay's going to have to say on this segment because she doesn't watch this show. Lindsay, when are you going to get with the times, get with the people on the rest of your pod?
I don't have the time.
Do you have enough time to binge watch every episode of The Bachelor?
I haven't watched The Bachelor this season at all.
I haven't either. I've been watching Survivor.
I haven't either. I don't got time.
I don't got time. I know. That's what I'm saying. I don't even have time to watch the shitty shows that I do watch.
Well, all right. We're going to go on to the next to two episodes ago of Survivor and talk about it.
Two episodes.
Jacob, how awesome was it? Tell Lindsay how awesome it was.
It was so cool. There's some wild shenanigans. There was some deception.
Let's update the people.
Yeah.
So the big things that happened, the funniest part to me at the beginning of the episode was that Matt the barber.
Bearded Matt the barber, yeah. Not to be mistaken with Matt. What was it? Matt Blankenship.
Yeah.
Or Maddie.
Yeah, or Maddie.
Who was
voted out, thankfully.
Voted out that episode, yeah.
Anyway, it was really funny because him and Jamie were all hunting for the idols, for the immunity idol. They found one.
Yep.
Jamie finds
a
it.
A false one or a real one?
Well, that's the thing. At first, they're all like celebrating, like, yeah, Jamie found the idol. Oh, we're going to keep this secret. Matt's like, we got to keep this secret between us. And then in his confessional, he's like, that's bullshit. That was the fake one.
Yep.
I actually found the real idol. And
how did they know?
How did who know?
Which is fake and what's real?
Well, because when they open the bird cage that's on every beach, there's a fake one and a real one. They're like, this one is real.
And
this one is fake. You can do whatever you want with it.
Yeah.
So every single person that found that opened the bird cage on all three of the different uh-huh. tribes have successfully made somebody else find their fake immunity idol.
Now
three different people think that they have real immunity idols.
And they don't suspect a thing. They all think they have the real thing.
Every one of them, surprisingly, is doing an amazing job with faking their fake immunity idols.
It's pretty wild.
Most surprisingly is Carolyn. Carolyn, who, against all odds, has not only hidden from everybody that she found it, but also made the shittiest looking X on her out of two little sticks.
Yeah, that was this episode.
Yeah, this the most current episode. She put it on her birdcage, Lindsay, okay? And then she's like, well, it doesn't look very good. And it did not. It looked like a child made an X on it.
Yeah, she's definitely seems like the one who is the least capable of lying or keeping a secret.
Yeah, but because of that, all of her tribe mates do not suspect her.
Yeah, they all think they're like, I think, smarter and better than her.
Right.
And kind of exclude her from a lot of stuff.
Exactly.
So she just is doing whatever she wants and getting away with everything. And I really hope Mr. Magoo's her way all the way to the end of this show.
Uh-huh, for sure.
Because like, yeah, she found the thing. And then just in the middle of the night went and like just found some like sticks and made an X.
What's the point of making the X?
So she made an X and then she hid another X near their camp. So with the
X marks the spot.
With the hidden immunity idol. So she was like, maybe someone will just think, oh, X marks the spot, and they'll go looking for this X. And I actually didn't think about it till right now. It just dawned on me that the last person that just got out, Sarah, is the one that found that fucking hidden immunity idol, and now she's voted out, which sucks.
Yeah.
Because I really wanted that to be in play. but or at least attempt to play it, you know.
That just means Carolyn's playing, though. She's playing the game.
And that actually makes Sarah's final final confessional booth really funny, because she's like, man, I went home with an idol in my pocket, when really she
had nothing.
She had no thing in her pocket. It was a fake community idol in her pocket.
It was a whole funny episode full of some upsets and switcheroos.
My favorite editing moment in the whole thing was when Matt is revealing to us that he has totally has scammed Jamie into thinking she has the fake immunity idol, the real immunity idol, and then there's just a shot of him narrating this while she's braiding his hair, you know, so he's just like looking like the Godfather, like sitting there like this woman is doing all this stuff for me and I'm just her puppeteer master. And she has no idea. It was hilarious.
But not just that, so we have on is it Tika, that Carolyn's team?
Yes, I believe. And I always
that loses everything.
Yes.
They have to do every single immunity challenge, and they always lose, so they always have to keep voting people out.
That's how my experience was on the Survive Block Island, the Rooster Teeth Minecraft show. I was on the losing team.
Yeah, I was on that.
Repeatedly.
Show.
Yeah.
That's why y'all are here. That's why I'm part of this segment. Yeah. Anyway, continue.
So we have that team. And you've got, who's on that? It's Carson, Carolyn, Josh, Jam Jam.
Well, now Josh. We'll get to that in a second.
So there's a lot of distrust with Josh. So they were getting to the point where, like, oh, well, I'll just team up and vote him off. And then it came up at the end of a certain segment. They're like, all right, every tribe picks one person. We're going to send them on an adventure. So they're like, let's send Josh on this adventure, whatever. We're going to get rid of him at some point. So every tribe sends somebody, and they all get an immunity idol on this island. So Josh ain't going anywhere.
Well, more importantly, you're probably about to
more
say
importantly,
this, that they everyone
switch
switches
tribes.
The huge people they shake sent, up.
Oh, right.
The people they sent, they're told, like, you got it. You're going to a different tribe now.
Yeah.
So the person they're going to get rid of, Josh, is now out of their hands for now. And he has an immunity idol. And you think he would be smart, go to his new tribe, and really get himself in there, but immediately he lies to them.
Oh, yeah, that he's not a surgeon.
They paid attention that he was a surgeon. And he says, he's like, oh, I'm just a physical trainer, because I don't know what he was trying to accomplish. Like, seem dumber or something?
Yeah, he doesn't want everyone to think that he's this super smart surgeon guy. Just a super smart personal trainer, I guess.
Yeah.
You know?
So he immediately goes over and lies to them, and then tries to get in with Carolyn, saying that he's going to use his immunity to the idol for her, and then when Tribal Council comes, doesn't do that. So now he only has enemies on his team.
Right.
So he totally blew his chances at being trusted, and now he's used his immunity idol
on himself.
On himself,
which he did need to do,
because
they did. They were going to vote for him out, and then he ended up going with Sarah. Which honestly, Carolyn. I know, Lindsay, this means nothing. I know, I can see your eyes have glazed over.
Honestly, I was going
to
say,
including half of the people probably listening to this, but continue.
No. I was going to say, I feel like it's actually good that I don't watch it, because now I feel like you guys are just feeling, like, you know, giving me the down.
We have someone to unload all this on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Carolyn is like, just basically said, screw Jam Jam, because Jam Jam was
he's turned against her completely.
He kept going up to her going like, oh, the people don't really see you as a threat. They see me as a threat, you know.
I know, Jam Jam's pretty mean.
He is a little, Oh, and there was a secret, there was a secret scene where he was like literally crying because he burnt his buff. You know,
He burnt his buff.
A survivor buff. I meant to bring my what survivor buff. It's like the bandana that they all wear.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, any other things before we get our we end this segment of Simping for Survivor?
I don't think so. I think Carson's just glad that he's not on a team that loses all the time, because Carson, he's 22 years old, little rocket scientist, big survivor nerd. Mm-hmm. I think very capable in this contest, but he's now off of Tika, where he was just losing everything. So now he's with a team that I think he can thrive with, but I think they might be more conscious of any deception he thinks he's doing, because he thinks he's real smart, and he is real smart. But I think he was able to get away with that with Tika, because they didn't
they're
have
slower.
That much. Yeah, they're a little slower. Watching Carolyn try to shoot that slingshot.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, oh, my God. Just, like, pull it farther back. Every time she goes to it, she ends up in an immunity challenge. She slows her whole team down. That's her one problem. She's great at everything else accidentally. Uh-huh. But then when she actually has to do some kind of physical thing, she always fucks it up.
there's always a risk, you know, with these big kind of twists that, you know, that doesn't work out how they think. But I do think I like the switching three people from every tribe onto the other tribe's shake up, because that is a big shake up, you know. Yeah. And it would be unfair if they weren't protected. But the fact that they were all given actual real immunity idols is a, you know, kind of evens it all out. Yeah, I think that it makes the game balance and fun.
They come in to a position of distrust because they're
don't
new.
Say yeah like you know what we're talking about, Lindsay.
breaks up alliances.
Yeah. Okay, yeah,
I was on the Survivor Minecraft Survive Block Island. I know all about it.
I'm fucking with you.
I was so bad at it.
I'm Team Carolyn all the way.
Honestly, me too. And she's the best. She's all I have going for me on my draft, because I don't think Franny's gonna go the distance.
No. I think
the showman. They're so stupid.
That's going to be the end of them.
I thought Franny was using the showmance as a strategery thing. I think she just literally is in a showmance. And she's like, you know, if I don't win the million, at least I have a new
They're lost in the sauce summer. Now.
Yeah, they're lost in the sauce once again. It'll anyway, this undoing. Has been Simping for Survivor. Thanks a lot. Rick, play the outro. Thanks a lot for watching Simping for Survivor. Hey everybody, we wanted to take a moment to thank you for watching our content. Everything we make is for you, and we really appreciate all the support you give us. If you want to do even more to support the channel and help us keep creating this amazing content, then consider becoming a First Member. By becoming a First Member, you'll not only be supporting the Funhouse podcast, but you'll also get tons of benefits on our site, roosterteeth.com. First Members get early access to daily content, exclusive content, premium RSS for podcasts, a store discount, and access to exclusive Discord events. Oh, and did we mention First Members see no ads on our website? No ads! That's so awesome. I have no time in my life to waste on ads. There's so much more content over on roosterteeth.com available just for First Members. So head over there and check it out. So thanks for listening to a word from our sponsor, aka us. And thanks for supporting us. And please consider becoming a First Member. Your support goes a long way and lets us make the content that we love to make for you. Head over to roosterteeth.com to start your free trial. Now, back to the episode. Welcome back to the Funhouse Podcast. As you'll notice, Jacob has left, and we got Omar De Armas in the building.
Omar!
It's my time to shine.
You might remember when we had the Rick cast several episodes back. That we kind of got a peek behind the curtain, behind the scenes here of the podcast. Well, now we're going to get a peek behind all of Funhouse, since we have the man himself who pulls all the strings, Omar De Armas.
Is that what it is?
That's how welcome. I perceive it. Is that not
the
how?
Puppet master?
Yes, yeah. You're the puppet master.
Welcome to this is the new vibe of the Funhouse Podcast. What do you think of the show so far, Omar? This year? Yeah, me and Ryan.
You and Ryan?
On the spot.
I think, this is a different show than On the Spot.
Well, we're putting you on the spot.
Yeah, yeah. I think you guys have been doing a good job. I like it.
Okay, thank you. Yes! All right. Ow. He had to be honest. So I asked the people to ask, say any questions that they ever have had for you personally and about anything. And so I got a bunch of good ones. I'm gonna start at the top of the ones that got upvoted the most. So.
Oh, so you went to like Reddit or something and asked for a bunch of questions?
There's 92 questions.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. We're not going to get to all of them, but
Ryan will be the best ones.
People have a lot of
I mean, hopefully there's anything good to say about any of them.
Yeah, of course, Omar.
I don't know why people want me to be on stuff. That's not the thing.
people love you. Seduce My Moose asks, if budget wasn't an issue, what quality of life changes would you make at Funhouse? Like office space, equipment, editing software, etc. Like if we had money was no object.
Money was no object. I think people.
More people?
More people.
Okay. Yeah, I think I would agree with that.
Yeah, people are, you know, they cost the most.
People cost the most, but like, honestly, like.
So we're not good enough? That's what you're saying?
Not nearly.
We need more of us?
Yeah, not nearly good enough.
Right. I'm just loving this.
People to do more things. That way we can do bigger and better things and have more people to carry that load.
Take the load off of people.
Yeah. That's the hardest part, right?
Free up our bandwidth.
Share the load.
Yeah.
Do you disagree?
No, you're right. Yeah, if you were like,
we
Ryan,
just didn't understand
you have now a month to make every video you want because we have the people, then I would say, fuck yeah. And everyone's going to be good. But
yeah, I mean, I think that's the hardest part for us for sure.
It only gives me 3 hours now per video.
I have to really keep on task.
I honestly don't know anything about this, really, but a lot of people asked or upvoted, and Don Casanova Lover 69, that's his username. So, I would love to hear Omar's favorite stories about working on Mandatory Update with Elise and Isla. Hink.
Isla.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Isla Hink back
there,
in GT.
There is a lot of people named Isla. I'm sure you've seen that name in celebrities.
Just reading phonetically. Yeah.
Isla. I did a couple things. Wait, so context, I guess. Game Trailers was one of the places I worked first, and that's where I met Elise. Was able to like parlay that into doing more stuff and got to do stuff with Inside Gaming and then got hired at Funhouse, all that stuff from meeting Elise doing stuff at Game Trailers. Game Trailers was a really cool place, doesn't exist anymore. Was part of Viacom and then Defy and all this other stuff, but rad place with rad people.
Favorite story?
One of the shows, Mandatory Update, was Isla and Elise doing like a what's that show on SNL where the two people are talking?
Weekend Update.
So it was a riff on that. I did it a couple, I helped them run it a couple of times. I did a lot of behind the scenes stuff for Game Trailers. I don't know if I have like a favorite story. I think just in general, working with those people was really awesome.
Not what Don Casanova Lover 69 asked. We need favorite story.
Favorite story is just working with them, meeting Elise, I guess. I don't know.
Like, okay.
That's a good story.
There was not a
beginning, middle, and end.
There was not like a lot of drama or anything. It was just rad people doing fun
stuff. Not like this place.
Yeah. Having to fucking babysit all your nonsense.
You're a great babysitter, though. SC14 asks, personal favorite Funhouse video series, if you had to pick. I know they're all your babies.
I really like Idiot Detective.
Yeah.
I think Idiot Detective is one of the better ones.
With the siren in the background.
With the siren in the background, right now.
I can hear that podcast listeners.
Yeah. Idiot Detective to me is kind of peak all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And when it first started getting to cut some of those and like put dumb gimmicks and stuff in there, like it's to me, that's one of the better series. I think like it's like the perfect vehicle for all the dumb shenanigans, but also stays focused enough to keep moving forward.
Yeah.
That's what I like, is like when things like have through lines like that, because it is just a lot of nonsense that happens that comes out amazing because you all are super funny. But like when it has a little bit of through line, I feel like that really ties it all together.
Is that like the longest running thing now?
Is it?
It's still going.
And apparently still, we were just talking about this morning, still has so much more potential of stuff to do in there.
I feel like it really peaked with the editing in the last one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. In the very last one? Yeah.
Part 16 or whatever.
I wonder why.
Interesting.
Yeah, I like that series a lot. There's a bunch. I mean, there's lots of really good shit that we put out. But yeah, that one's super fun. When we were doing like more Let's Play stuff and I was like, pulling multicams and like making narratives out of the multicam sessions and stuff that were continuous over things like when we did Astroneer a long time ago and stuff like that. Like, that's where I had a lot of fun because I get to do something as an editor there.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Anders 1099 asks, which habits have helped you maintain an increasingly productive life without becoming overwhelmed or stressed out?
what a weird
projection there.
Well, but also like so timely because we have been talking about this kind of stuff. I've been talking to all of you about this kind of stuff for a couple of months here now, trying to get more just like, you know, just a system in place that people can actually track the shit that they're doing and keep it all in mind. But like, I use a couple different things. I use like weird lists and stuff and like a time to-do list and calendars and stuff. But keeping all that stuff so I can get it out of my brain so I can concentrate on individual things is how you don't stress out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, so finding the system for me, it's like today, this week, next, or this month list system, as well as like calendars and stuff like that. But like to keep all that stuff, I just get it out of my brain. I don't have to think about it anymore. And I don't have to remember about this thing that I need to do. I can just concentrate on the thing I'm doing and then move to the next thing on the list. That's the way to go.
Omar taught me this cool thing recently that I hadn't thought about where there's like this app that's like post-it notes basically on your lock screen of your phone. Mm-hmm. You told me about. So where it's like every time you look at your phone, you are looking at that you know, to-do list, essentially. Yeah,
the things that just get it out of your brain. Don't think about it constantly. Get it out of your brain. Put it into a system. That way it reminds you of the next thing you need to do, and that way you can actually concentrate on shit. And otherwise, yeah, it would be incredibly stressful to keep everything running. Oh, there are so many moving parts. Mm-hmm. So many moving parts, and it would be impossible to keep track of.
Danny and Wayne asks, how can I get a taste like you always do? Question mark.
Just insert yourself everywhere. So just steal it. Don't wait to be given the taste. Steal the taste.
Take the taste. Okay. Interesting.
Eat consent.
Yeah. Sharp Mix added, be a daddy. That's what the response was. Yeah. Also on the same, I guess on the same or related question, maybe XX Mac Juice Box XX asks, what's it like to be the sexiest member of Funhouse?
That can't be true. I don't know because that's not the case.
I'm just reading what the people are wondering. I'm not. You know,
how many upvotes did I get? Negative five?
That got 30 upvotes. Ooh. 30 other people agreed or at least wanted to hear me ask it. Okay. Moving on. Uzumochi asks, do you have any creative endeavors that don't necessarily fit the confines of Funhouse like that? You're like, oh, this would be a cool thing, but I don't think it's a Funhouse idea, you know?
Like things that I want to work in my personal time
on? Yeah, just things, a creative endeavor that you, you know, that otherwise you might say, oh, this would be a fun thing to do at Funhouse, but you're like, you know, this isn't really the same thing, but you want to do it at some point in your life.
I don't even know where to start on something like this, but I want to do, like, I always wanted to do more, like long investigative stuff, like
docu stuff.
Yeah, kind of like docu stuff, but like not, you know, not super serious, but like we're like, say we had a podcast or whatever and we could do like, we could dedicate like five episodes to really digging in on something. Mm-hmm. Or like doing that kind of thing. Like a lot of the media that I like to consume, like in podcasts and like on the internet and stuff, is kind of that thing where it's like
mystery.
Not necessarily. That stuff is definitely part of it. But like it could be anything. Like even when we were doing like gaming stuff, like a channel like Noclip. I don't know if you've ever heard of Noclip.
No.
This guy, Danny O'Dwyer, he runs a Patreon. But the stuff he makes is amazing. Like it's like getting – like embedding yourself with a company and like doing a really well-designed and thoughtful piece of – on that thing that you're trying to report on or whatever, you know, like doing stuff like that stuff always, I've always loved that kind of stuff. And I wish we had the time and resources to do stuff like that, especially on Inside Gaming, in its fourth iteration, like after things kind of settled out and it had like Patrick and Charlotte and Autumn and all mm-hmm. those people working on it, with Lawrence and stuff. Like one of the things I really wanted to see happen was like, spending some time and actually like putting together thoughtful pieces on stuff, because I think those kind of things like are really awesome. And I think a lot of like, it shows where your passions are and stuff, mm-hmm. but the resources to do it is fucking incredible. You know, it takes so much time and so much money and stuff. So I think those are the kind of things that I would try to get into. I just don't know, like, it's like picking something that isn't already overly done.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what would be hard right now. And then finding the time to do it, because it is a long ask.
Mm. I would be very, just as an audience member, I want to see what that would be all about. That sounds cool. Do you have anything to add, Lindsay?
No, I was going to say, you said report and I was like, I would like to do trip reports. Like you do take little trips and then you do the same kind of thing.
Okay.
Deep dive on.
Yeah. Like deep dive on an area or like the history of a thing or whatever. Like that stuff is rad. And it's like an opportunity to like, yeah, even just you could tie your travel to that kind of thing and like make a thing out of it. Like it just seems super cool.
I'm in the middle of editing a travel video right now. Like it's the top 10 movies shot in Austin, Texas, and I go to the locations of those places. I don't know.
That seems cool.
It's just kind of a different change of pace, a little travel video.
How long have you been working on it, and when do you think, like, how much more?
I shot it literally about 2 years ago.
Damn.
And then I've always been like, it's kind of this like, oh, that's an evergreen piece of thing that that I could just do whatever. And then I just started editing it about a month ago, and it's actually taken way longer than I wanted it to take.
Well, the evergreen part of it, like, that's the thing that intrigues me the most, because like that kind of content does kind of live forever. Like it's not. You're not beholden to anything happening. So you can really like dedicate time and love to it and put it out when it's done, as opposed to something that you're rushing to get
done.
Yeah,
good point.
Yeah, that's what's rad about that stuff.
But on the flip side of that, then you're like, there's never a point where it's done. Where you're like, well, you know, getting there. You know, yeah. It could just a couple more days turns into weeks.
That's the problem with all passion projects, right?
Yeah, like, for real, dude.
You could always do a little bit more.
Yeah.
It's knowing when it's done.
When to stop.
Yeah, when to stop putting
when
effort.
To give up.
That's what it is. You pretty just much. Have to be like,
just give up.
I know, but it's like at a certain point, you're like, I can fucking tinker with this for the rest of my goddamn
creator,
life.
As a creator, that's how it feels. Like when I was editing that documentary for this channel, I was like, oh, I mean, I had a deadline, so I was like, okay, I don't have any more time. But at a point, I just was like, okay.
Yeah,
but it's not like, giving up.
I know, but it feels like. I felt like I was giving up on doing anything else with it, because what else, you know? That's what it feels like.
Best beach in SoCal, girl on internet ass. That's literally her name.
Best beach in SoCal. So I'm going to limit SoCal to more LA County.
Okay.
Or like adjacent counties to LA, because that's my biggest knowledge. I honestly think one of the best beaches to just like hang out and like be in the water is the south end of Venice.
Okay.
Above the marina, there's like a stretch that doesn't get a lot of traffic. It's calm water. It's pretty nice and chill there. Like if you have like family time or whatever, like that's an amazing place to go hang out with the family.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the cooler beaches though are those little pocket beaches like just north of LA County. Have you heard of like Pescador, Matador?
I've heard of Matador.
There's three of them. There's a third one that I can't remember the name of.
I don't know.
Is it like something with pigs or something? Like there are these little beaches that you kind of have to like hike down into. They're state beaches. They're rad. They're like
that'd be cool.
Super disconnected. Other than that, like Catalina.
Okay.
Catalina is rad. If you like snorkeling, if you like warm water, if you like doing scuba or anything like that, Catalina is an amazing place to go. And it's like a trip to get there for sure.
Oh, it's...
Can you still go for free on your birthday?
Can you? Is that a thing?
That used to be a thing.
The Catalina flyer would take you for free?
Yeah.
That'd be rad. That doesn't seem like something that would they would keep going or advertise at all, but yeah, that seems super awesome.
A lot of people wondering about this. Favorite pair of shoes, Omar? Notorious shoe collector.
My favorite pair that I have?
Show me your shoes today.
I just got these.
God, dude. For our audio listeners, they're blue corduroy.
They're blue.
They're full really corduroy. Cool. They're very blue. I just got these. These are super awesome.
They're like sky blue.
Those are crazy.
Like, I have my favorite pair. Like, I have a pair of the Para Dunks that I really like. Those are the ones that I wear. I wear them pretty often. They're like red and blue, kind of like...
Okay, yeah.
Mosaic. Mm-hmm. Those ones are super rad. I really like my Off-White Jordan ones. I got a lot of shoes. I like them all.
Are you pumped to, no pun intended, to see Air?
I have heard such weird things about that movie. I think I'm going to... I want to see it.
The ultimate shoe collector movie.
I just saw
it
a trailer
it's not,
for
though,
it
right?
Yesterday.
Like, it's a movie about the guy...
Phil Knight.
It's not about Phil Knight. It's about Phil Knight. It's about the other guy who tries to steal credit from Phil Knight on a bunch of stuff.
But I thought Ben Affleck was playing Phil Knight.
No, I think he's playing the other guy.
We need to fact check on that.
Yeah, we need to check that.
I'm pretty sure Ben Affleck's playing Phil Knight.
But it's more about the guy who was like trying to sign Jordan, right? But they don't ever, like, Jordan's not in the movie at all. And they don't
talk. At all? At
yeah.
all? That's kind of an interesting way to do it.
I think
like
it's weird.
The boogeyman in the back.
It's a weird thing to call it Air and to base it on that stuff and not have it be about Michael Jordan.
Well, it's almost like did you see She Said, you know, about the Harvey Weinstein stuff? And you just hear his voice on the phone a bunch of times. Like, you never see him depicted. It's kind of like this interesting aesthetic or way to do it.
I mean,
that's a weird comparison.
Yeah, that is a very weird comparison. When you said boogeyman, that one fits boogeyman more. I don't know if I would call Michael Jordan the boogeyman of the Nike story.
I just meant like the person that you don't see that's like off, but is hovering off screen in the story of the movie.
Ryan's right, though.
I'm right.
Because Phil Knight has that that book, or the biography that he made called Shoe Dog, right?
Or sure.
Something like that, right?
I don't remember.
I think it's called Shoe Dog. And I think there's like a Hulu series or Apple TV series coming out that's like a directly about that book about his biography. And this was like something, this was like something else that wasn't like fully approved by people. This one's weird. There's something weird about this movie.
Okay, interesting. I hear it's a good old fashioned sports movie though.
Like Moneyball style?
Yeah, basically. Like that I don't know, or at least feels like an old fashioned movie is what the reviews say.
I'll check it out for sure.
Okay. But not at the theater. Omar notoriously does not go to the movie theater.
I do not go
ever.
To the movie theaters anymore.
Why?
Because it's too much bullshit. It's too much bullshit.
He doesn't appreciate the communal nature of the art that people are making. He wants to watch it alone.
I don't go to most movies. I will go occasionally, though.
Yeah, like
you
if
are
it's a
part
big,
of the problem.
If it's a big social thing, I'll go to the movie theater. But I'm just not going to go by myself to a movie theater.
Oh, no, I would never.
Well, I'm not telling you to go by yourself to the movie theater. But, you know, but one person, it's a party, you know? Like, time out.
I would much rather be able to sit down, pause if I need to, and also have subtitles on because my hearing is fucked.
I mean, I'm on the same page.
Well, okay. They're not every single movie is benefited by the theatrical experience. I agree. But a lot of movies are. More than you guys are giving it credit for, I would say.
Like Avatar. I have no interest in seeing Avatar
in
the theater.
That's insane.
I will watch it when it goes to my house. In my house.
Missing. It's so much better at the fucking
it's
movie.
It's too fucking long. I want to be able to take a break if I need to.
As James Cameron says, you can just...
I'm not going to go more than once.
You can just
that's
go watch it a second
sure.
time. and then go pee during the other part.
Yeah, it's a three-hour movie that you can just go see multiple times. Yeah, right. Fuck that, dude.
I know, but at least once. You got to see the fucking awesome... 4D rendered graphics or whatever the fuck. They're great.
The sound is the thing that would make me want to go to a theater as opposed to seeing. Because like the graphics on my TV are awesome.
They are not this. At
they
the
are
fucking
awesome.
Movie
my
theater.
My
You're
fucking
crazy.
OLED 4K TV is awesome.
Whatever you, I don't care what
but
you're
like,
telling me. And especially not it's not IMAX.
Wait, what's the difference between QLED and OLED?
OLED is.
I don't know.
QLED is LEDs that are all lit. OLED is like. Each little thing is lit by itself, so the blacks are like true black.
Right. Okay.
But like the theater that's near here, in downtown Burbank, right, it has that one that's like got the Dolby Atmos theater.
Mm-hmm.
Like something being Atmos or whatever would make me want to go to the theater to experience.
Okay. So it's just, you're more of a sound guy.
Well, I mean, like I feel like that's the thing I don't get at home. Visually, it's fine.
It's not, but it's we're moving on. Busy Motion asks, going off of your sneakerhead thing, everyone knows you're a sneakerhead, but what's a lesser known Omar hobby and interest that you don't usually talk about?
I feel like I don't have money for anything else other than sneakers anymore. I like Legos a lot.
Okay.
I got some Lego stuff.
Cool.
I used to be really into PC stuff, just like computers and shit. Like making little things out of hardware.
Cool.
But I feel like the only thing I do know is collect shoes, which is like the most consumer bullshit thing you can have for a hobby.
Julian Welton asks, was there ever a technical issue or an incident behind the scenes here at Funhouse that you thought was just going to be a disaster, like losing a week's worth of content or something like that? Someone wants to know if there's ever been a
I was going to say, I know what
disaster.
He thinks was a disaster. But it's not like losing
anything
a week's
you can
worth
say
of content.
On
yeah,
podcast.
What do you think?
I was going to say when we did the Halloween stream and he came in and he was like, that's not a video.
Oh, yeah. Because
it was so chaotic.
Yeah, that was fun.
I mean, Don saved that video.
Yeah.
He really
pulled something out of nothing because it was fucking nonsense during the thing.
I remember we came out of it and we were like, that was fun, right? You think that looked in? And Omar would just look like, no, dude. That fucking sucked. That was nothing. That's just,
he didn't say that sucked.
I'm throwing that
he was
in.
Just like, I don't know. What was that?
Yeah, that was the tone, though.
Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of times here where we're like, oh, something was messed up in a thing, but we always save most of it.
Yeah.
We're able to pull shit out of.
Yeah.
Like, there's very little that happens that like actually keeps something from coming out.
Yeah.
Unless we just think like collectively, not just myself, collectively thinks like, ah, that wasn't worth it. Let's just ditch it.
Yeah.
Even that doesn't happen all that often.
Right. Every once in a while, we'll record something, I feel like, and then, you know, the editor's looking through it and be like, you know, this, I don't know if it was like worth spending the extra time to make it into a video.
Maybe the energy was off or the game wasn't that interesting.
Yeah, sometimes you think, oh man, this game's going to be so fun to make a video with, and then you kind of, you're playing it, and then either it gets done really quickly or there's just like nothing to really riff off of, so then you're just kind of like, well, all right, that was a bust kind of.
Yeah.
Trial and error.
Yeah, even things that were messed up, like moving and shit like that. Oh, like we found ways to make it work outside of all the nonsense that was happening. We, you know, that's what we do. We make it work.
Positive spirit here at Funhouse. All right, let's see. What is your favorite place you've ever traveled to, Omar?
Norway.
Norway?
When did you go to Norway?
Oh, a long ass time ago. I had a friend, like, we were a couple years out of high school. I had a friend who was like, oh, I'm going to do a semester in London or something. You should, like, come out at the end, and we'll go travel around Europe. So I spent a shitload of money at the time, too, to go out to London. I met up with my friend. We kind of bounced around Europe. And then he met somebody during his time there, was like, oh, this dude has family in Norway. We should just go to Norway for a little while and, like, see this because they're willing to put us up.
Yeah, yeah.
And we went there, and it was fucking amazing.
That's cool.
The place is so cool. Like, all of the things you want, like super green mountains and stuff, like the fucking glaciers and stuff was super cool. The fjords are awesome. Like, that place was awesome to visit.
I want
to
do a cruise through the fjords and stuff up there.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It was awesome. All the houses, like, we were like in some of the hills, and all these houses had like all this crazy grass and shit growing on the roof because that helps insulate. And there's like goats up there like eating the grass. And like, it just seemed like the like a utopia of stuff. I don't know if Norway is that rad for the people who live there forever, but it was rad to visit. During that same trip, we did like Spain and London and a couple other stuff. Spain is cool. I've been to Spain a couple of times. There's a whole area that's like De Armas.
Okay.
There's a whole area that's like the Plaza de Armas. And like, I don't know if my family originates from around that area or not, but it's cool.
Like have your ID just wandering around showing everyone?
Yeah, it's like we walked around and we went and visited different stuff. Like I found there's in Toledo or There's a street like San Eugenio. My first name is Eugenio.
Okay.
So like I found the name, my first name that that saint is in, and then we went and found the plaza de Armas that's got my whole family origin or something.
Now I always pronounce it Eugenio, but am I doing it wrong?
No, how you're doing yours. That's perfect.
How did you just say it?
Eugenio. Yeah.
Oh, it is Eugenio.
Eugenio.
Okay. Wait, what?
It's EU.
Wow.
I know why it's because it's spelled like.
It's spelled like Eugene.
Eugene, with an
IO at the end.
I just had never seen or heard you pronounce it before.
I don't ever go by it. It's for that reason. Eugenio? No. Omar's enough.
It's funny you brought up London because the username was London Breakdown who asked that question.
Well, there you go.
Comfort food, they also asked.
Comfort food.
Yeah, just your food that your guilty pleasure food, maybe.
Now comfort food is different because of vegetarian and everything. But my favorite meal ever is ropa vieja, which is like a Cuban dish. Ropa vieja. It's a
burger.
The way that my mom specifically makes ropa vieja is amazing. It's one of those things that like I haven't eaten it forever now, but I can still taste it and feel the texture of it in my mouth. Cool.
So what is it?
It's like stewed beef that you like make stringy and stuff.
It translates
to old clothes. So it's just like a bunch of shit thrown into a pot. It's like stewed. You eat it over rice with like, you know, white rice, black beans, the fried plantains, the whole nine.
That sounds great.
Let me get this straight. How long have you been a vegetarian?
Probably like 20 some years.
You've been a vegetarian for 20 years, and when someone asks you your number one comfort food, you say a pot of stew that tastes like old clothes?
That doesn't taste like old clothes.
Also that you haven't had in 20 years.
I haven't had it forever. It's one of those things like whenever we go, like I take anybody like, oh, let's go to Porto's and get some pastries and stuff. Like one of the things I suggest is like
a pot of beef stew.
You should get this sandwich and get it with the ham croquettes inside it, the medianoche with the croquetas inside. It's one of those things that, like, I wish I wish there was a veggie version of that existed because it's so fucking good. It just makes my mouth water. Oh, I want to eat it. I want to watch somebody eat it.
Possible.
Ryan school. Can make that happen.
For yeah, me. I will eat anything you want in front of you.
have you had much Cuban food?
No, but I like it every time I have it.
Yeah, I've had there's lots of really good Cuban places around here.
I've had a Cubano.
A Cubano, yeah.
That I assume that's from Cuba?
Yeah, I don't know actually if it is, but it is it's a staple.
What is another, there's another food or sandwich or something that literally has the word Cuba in it. Oh no, a drink, Cuba Libre, is that a drink?
Yes.
Okay, that's my favorite drink from Cuba, I guess.
Again, I don't know if that's from Cuba, but okay.
All right. Have you ever been, Tankass, have you ever been recognized as part of Funhouse somewhere you didn't expect to?
I get recognized every so often, way less now than before. I have a funny story for that because my friends that I grew up with, one of the things that they never understand is how like internet celebrity works. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And just like they think it's the funniest, craziest thing in the world. I'm like, it's not that big a deal. Like, no one's going to recognize me. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And every time somebody does, they're just like, what the fuck is going on? Just because, you know, like it's crazy.
Yeah.
So like I was with friends, we were doing a road trip up north and we were in at the mystery spot. You know where the mystery spot
no.
is? Up, it's way up north. It's like on the coast. The mystery spot. It's like one of those roadside attraction things.
Okay. But it's called the mystery spot.
Yeah, it's
okay.
called the mystery spot.
It's not
spot.
Just like, oh, do you know my secret mystery spot no, I know it's about called, in it's, North, it's, North California?
Yeah, it's called the mystery spot. You can Google it. It's okay. it's like a roadside attraction up north. But we were in line because like we went there and we're like, oh, it's like one of those dumb things like the Winchester Mystery House where it's like a shack, but everyone made this dumb lore around uh-huh. it. And we couldn't get a tour because it was too busy. So we're like, ah, fuck, we'll just go to the gift store, get like a bumper sticker or something. And I was standing in line to buy something and the cashier was like, are you Omar? And my friend was like two people back in line and he's just like, shut the fuck up. And the dude was like, are you Omar from Funhouse? I was like, yeah, what's up, dude? Like, what's going on? And he like gave us a bunch of stuff, but he also got us into the place.
Oh, cool.
And it was like it was definitely the most, the funniest thing to happen because all of the people were just flabbergasted because it was like the most random place. Somebody recognized me and we actually benefited from it because we weren't going right. to be able to go through the thing and we ended up being able to go in and do it, which was really rad.
It's an antithesis to Ryan's story recently where yeah. he met a fan and he did not let him into the club because he was wearing sweatpants.
Wait, the bouncer was a fan?
Yeah, the bouncer. I mean, as I'm getting kicked out basically, or not kicked out, but just not let in, you know, he's like, hey, dude, Ryan, big Funhouse fan. I'm like, awesome. Can you get me in? And he's like, not looking like that. but hey, I'm a big
so
fan,
funny
though.
Every time I hear you tell this.
Like, okay, thank you, though.
Yeah, I don't know if that person is still around, but that was years and years ago now, too. Like, probably like 2017 or something. But shout out, guy at the mystery spot.
That rocks.
Making me look cool in front of my friends.
Put on your dress shoes, ass. Which employee at Funhouse smells the least like they look like they would smell? Polite answers only.
Smells the least yeah, like no, I, they look
let's
like
unpack that.
They would smell.
Smells the least like they look like they would smell. Yeah.
I mean, it would have to be you, right? Like,
because
you don't.
Because I look like I smell bad, but I
yeah,
smell great?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Or you don't smell is the thing. Yeah. You have no scent, which doesn't seem like it would be the case just seeing you, seeing video.
I think that
you.
Is a compliment.
That's a weird question. I don't know.
I know.
I
feel
that's
like no one here is
Ryan.
Offensively smelled. I don't notice anybody's smell. Do I smell?
No.
No, but I also don't have a good sense of smell.
My sense of smell is fine. No, nobody here smells.
Nobody so. Here smells. We're a clean adult group.
Well, one thing about, I will say about smell, like I can't smell very well. But I had this dumb idea to bring all my latex stuff,
oh.
fun puppet stuff into my office. Now my fucking room just smells like latex, and it sucks. So I'm having to figure that out.
It still smells?
Yeah, it smells worse than now because John Smith complained about the snowman being outside.
So
he said he has to smell
it. In your room?
Now I'm back in my room. My place smells even worse. So
Ryan has been emptying his house of his bullshit into the office.
Yeah, we're gonna do a tour.
Yeah, we'll have to like, yeah, we'll have to
well,
like. Do
I blame
a
the
show
office on that because the only reason that's happening is because we moved. So now I'm having to move. So y'all are having to move with me.
So by the way, if you're watching this, become a member. member on the Funhouse channel because we're going to do a video tour, so you'll be able to see it.
See all the
It'll
random
be a membership
bullshit.
Video.
But I'm donating now that snowman to the chicken heads. I was like, you guys want this big snowman? Can you do anything with it? And they're like, oh, we've been meaning to make a Christmas album, so this will be perfect. So now they're going to make a whole song about my snowman and wear him at shows. And I'll be fighting monsters in no time. So at least he'll be getting
Will you be sad that it's gone or happy that it's being used?
Yeah, no, the second. I'm way more happy that it's... I mean, you know, if it's just with me, it's just put in a video every once in a while. Whereas if it's with them, it's going to be played in all these cool punk shows and I won't have to smell it every day now.
All the shit that's in your office, that shit that you made?
Yeah, I made all that.
That's crazy.
Hunter helped me, or taught me, but you know, yeah, and he helped me, but I made all that with my hand, my own bare hands, as Ween would say.
How long did it take to get to Ween? Is there like a 44 minutes in every episode now? How long did it take to
Zero
Brian to match
episodes since last Ween reference? Okay. Again, you know, this has been great. This has been illuminating, Omar. I'm learning a lot about you.
Yeah, real rapid fire through questions. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's how we do it here.
That's
on
how we do
FHP.
It here on the FHP Funhouse podcast. Okay. Still PMA all day? What does that mean?
PMA, positive mental attitude.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
All day?
All day. All day, every day.
How do you keep it up? They also ask.
PMA all day. I don't know if you can read that on the thing.
Oh, that's literally on your...
It says it right there.
It says on for our audio listeners, his like canteen, yes.
Yeah, my coffee cup says PMA all day. Wow. PMA is a mental... It's like an ethos.
Well, I love it. You also have... I like your ethos that you have like a million shirts that say it's okay to not be okay.
Yeah, that's...
I like that one too.
Yeah, those are from one of the charities, suicide prevention charities that I like to donate and give money to. So like the whole thing with PMA is, you know, like life is shitty sometimes and like you don't have to be positive all the time. It's just trying to get back there, right? Not letting yourself dwell in the bad stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like, that's hard, you know, it's sometimes not always possible by everybody, but like doing the best you can to not dwell on the bad stuff, stay positive, and then just like push that out into the world.
It's a constant practice of letting go.
That's kind of an acknowledgement too that like, you know, life's a state of mind, a mindset. You can kind of, you know,
yeah, I mean,
when
your
shit sucks, you can kind of,
your brain is very powerful.
Yeah,
like you can think yourself into all kinds of weird shit. So you can almost, you know, some like you got to talk to people and do stuff, like take care of yourself, but you can think yourself out of some stuff if you need to.
The third season of Ted Lasso came out, which Omar 2 years ago, 3 years ago, put me on in that show. Are you watching the third season?
I watched the first episode.
Okay. So I watched the first two episodes. But in the first episode, I love it. And it's really, I think, applies to what we're talking about. Because he's talking about the poopy, letting the poopy flow. He's like, smells like poopy. It's like, just let the poopy flow like it does in the London sewer system.
Episode?
No! It's Ted Lasso! Poopy. Let the poopy flow.
Yeah, don't dwell on the negatives.
Just let that poopy flow.
You know, this kind of goes to our next question a little bit, but for such a positive guy, Omar listens to a lot of very heavy hardcore music.
That is also a positive experience.
Well, I mean, I love it too, but it's you know, it's kind of surprising. You know, so somebody asked Dubito Cognito or something says, "What type of music do you enjoy listening to? And if you've discovered anything recently, amazing bands or songs, what are they?"
I feel like I don't learn about new music as well as I want to anymore. I don't know I honestly don't know what to do about it because I feel like I used to get introduced to stuff all the time and I don't anymore. But
you use Apple Music?
Yeah.
Go to the
similar
artists.
So do they
have
some sort of feature that's like on Spotify, they have Daily Mix and it plays some artists that you're already listening to and then it finds similar genres and like diverts off of that. And so it comes up with a full playlist. That's how I find new music all the time. They make like 6 daily mixes based off different styles of music that I listen to. And then it's like, here's your Bon Iver Beach House Lord mix. And then it shows. And then I find like a bunch of new artists. Like that's how I found I forget what this one. Dijon. That's like an artist that I started listening to recently because it was on my radio. Like
because the genre of music is way less pop culture for me. that that's harder to do?
For no, those? It's totally not. I mean, I listen to weird ass extreme music,
yeah, that's what I'm
and saying. And it just yeah, like what she said, it gives you similar artists based on the things other people yeah. listen to.
I like definitely that. like I'll go through when I because I usually just listen to like albums or something, and I'll like look at similar artists and like, but most of the stuff I already know about, but like. Yeah, like hardcore music, like that, the you know, sometimes it like all the way to like really thrashy punk and stuff. Like,
well, who's on your constant rotation? What are some bands that you just always listen to?
I mean, right now, the thing I've been listening to a lot because I'm excited that they're finally doing a tour again after fucking forever, Botch is coming through. Okay. They just did a like the first time they've toured since, I don't know, like 2008 or something.
Isn't that a really old deaf piano player?
Bach. yeah, Botch, I think they're like from Seattle or something. They came together, they started doing a tour again. They're coming to LA. I bought my tickets way in advance because I think the show's not till like September or October or something. But I've been listening to that album, We Are the Romans, so much.
Okay.
It is fucking awesome.
Botch
is awesome. I listened to a ton of Converge. Lots of Fucked Up right now because I kind of like that more melodic
stuff.
Ooh,
I like Fucked Up.
Fucked Up is awesome. They put out such weird, like, experimental hardcore and stuff, too. I'm super into that.
They played at the Memphis hardcore shows back in my day.
Back in your day, yeah. Awesome.
And I like them a lot.
They're a Canadian band that is awesome. H2O is awesome.
The punk band?
Yeah.
I love that band.
H2O, yeah.
To me, that's less hardcore.
Oh, yeah. It's more melodic and stuff, for sure. It's very lyrical.
I'm going down memory lane for the millionth time today.
Yeah. Very oi, 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 cool. In places and stuff. But yeah, H2O is awesome. They still tour and do stuff out here too. Mm-hmm. That they were a East Coast band that is basically all West Coast now. They do stuff. Man, there's so many. I don't even know. Converge. Did I mention Converge?
You did mention Converge.
Converge is like
them again because they're good.
They're one of the best bands in the world. That drummer of Converge is in so fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. I don't understand how one person can do all the noise.
That's how I feel about the Death Grips drummer. Are you a Death Grips fan? I feel like you might be into. It's kind of has a bunch of the similar genre.
I'll check it out. Your hardcore recommendations are always so fucking weird.
This one is definitely weird. But if you're into it, you should come to the show in May. They're on a reunion tour. Okay. Lindsay, you have any input on to this hardcore discussion?
No, I don't listen to any hardcore.
Boring.
I mostly listen to sad girl music, so.
You need to not be able to understand the lyrics for like the first 17 times you listen to a song.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep.
Santos asks, who would be your dream guest on a Funhouse video if you could get anybody to be a guest?
Be a guest? I don't know. I feel like we get to hang out with a lot of the people we like.
I don't know. Which one? Jack Black to come by and play the Jumanji game, or I don't know.
I would want
Bordas El Jumanji featuring Jack Black.
I had a weird opportunity to talk to Jeff Bridges one time. I would want Jeff Bridges to come because the dude is awesome.
Oh, I love Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Bridges is rad. He's going through some weird shit with his body, I think, right now.
Okay.
Yeah, Jeff Bridges would be rad. I was doing a tour of Fox Studios or whatever one time because my cousin used to work there a long time ago, and Jeff Bridges was like 30 feet away. I was like, oh, shit, the dude, he's right there. Let me go say hi. And she was like, you cannot. You cannot do that because if people saw that I was giving you a tour and you went and bugged some celebrity, I would get a lot of shit. I was like, it's the fucking dude. He's right there. And I was like, I need to go say hello to the dude. And I ran over. I was like, I love you. You're awesome. But I didn't get to like take a photo or do anything because she was freaking out about it.
Well, Pixar didn't happen. I don't believe you.
Dude, The Big Lebowski is one of the best movies.
It is. It's great. Great film. It's such a weird movie. I can't believe it exists. I love it. Ryan PDG1 said, as a Ryan, I find that there are a lot of us out there. Have you ever met many Omars or Omar?
I've met other Omars. There's lots of famous Omars and stuff too.
Mm-hmm. The guy from Mars Volta.
Yeah.
Mars Volta. Drive-In.
There's another, a couple other great bands that are straddle line of punk and stuff. Yeah. There was a dude in my high school that was named Omar, and we were like Highlander. Only one of us can exist.
You hated each other?
It was weird because we were like, we weren't exactly in the same circle, but our circles overlapped a lot. Uh-huh. And every time that we were like in the same room, it was always like, oh, you're the other one.
Bagel bites or pizza rolls? Are you even allowed to eat both of those?
They have just cheese.
Bagel bites are gross, though, right?
I'd rather have
their pizza rolls. Yeah. Pizza rolls, okay. For sure. Bagel bites are gross.
You heard your first.
They're like kind of rubbery.
Yeah, I don't think that kind of bread does well being frozen and then reheated and stuff.
But when pizza's on a bagel, you can eat pizza anytime.
But when a pizza is in a roll, you can eat pizza anytime.
I've never thought about it like that. Okay. Well, how come that's not in their song? They should be telling people, like, you can eat those anytime. The fuck? All right, we're getting towards the end of this. Any life lesson? Someone wants to hear a life lesson from you. Oh, from being a lifeguard for 16 years. What's a lesson after being a lifeguard?
That narrows it down.
Yeah, narrows it down. Yeah, not as general.
Life lesson from being a lifeguard.
Yeah.
Respect the ocean.
Oh, I thought you were going to be like, respect me, your lifeguard.
No, respect the ocean. Understand your limits.
Respect the ocean. I like that.
I mean, yeah.
Now, sometimes I go up. I like to do this thing where when the waves are crashing down, I like go up and I like punching and uppercutting the waves. Now,
fuck
I still
you,
love
ocean.
The ocean, but it is kind of, you know, probably looks disrespectful to the uninitiated.
Well, I think you're showing it strength so it can show you strength back, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, something sure.
That is crazy when you think about it on like a grand level of like we are willingly walking into this thing that's all touching itself. And could just, and it's massive.
Uh-huh.
Like and we're walking inside.
It can be
of
crazy dangerous too.
Yeah, that's, it's just weird when I think about it on a big level like that.
Yeah, like giant yeah, waves scary. And stuff. Like, I mean, watching people with little kids get wiped out by surf, they're just like not respecting the elements around them. That shit was annoying. Cause like, it sucked too because you get forced into profiling people. As they're walking onto the beach, you're like, that motherfucker is going to drown and I'm going to have to go save them.
God.
And it sucks. But yeah, like, yeah, dude, so much crazy shit would happen. And it's not even like always scary stuff. It's just the frequency of it all.
Mm-hmm.
It was insane. I'm glad I don't do that anymore.
I would not want to do that.
I'm glad that you work here.
Yeah. I used to work in the ER and stuff too as an EMT. Like, fuck all that, dude. I don't want to have to do with like life and death. I don't know why I was doing that. That is not, it is not.
You worked in the ER?
Yeah.
I never knew that.
I worked in the ER for very briefly because I was getting my EMT and doing stuff like that because like the real reason was lifeguarding would give me a raise based on having my EMT license. So you would do that stuff too. But yeah, dude, fuck all that stuff. Like that is way too much responsibility. Yeah. Way too much pressure.
So this is like a cakewalk, this job.
Yeah, that's why like every time somebody freaks out about something, I'm just like, fuck, no one's dying. Chill.
Filet-O-Fish 420 ass. So aren't you glad that you're not worried about life or death, but you're answering questions from Filet-O-Fish 420? This is way more chill. Hey, Omar, did you know that your name said backwards sounds like Rambo, which sounds like a weird sex toy name? This got zero upvotes, by the way.
Okay. Is there a question?
Did you know that is the case?
Yeah, I did know that my name backwards is Rambo. Okay. I was... I would rather it be associated with Rambo.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there you go. Just missing the B from Rambo.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Even that movie is kind of fucked up.
It's true. The second one's way better. More people die. Getting to this is probably going to be our last question because we're here towards the end, but this is going to, my dad's calling me. We'll talk to you later. This comes from Tazzo in Lo-Fi, and it is going to tie everything back together.
Okay.
From the beginning of the episode. Omar, how do you think you would do on the show Survivor?
I don't know anything about the show Survivor. Okay. I know that they get like locked on an island, right?
And you're on an island with multiple tribes. You have to battle each other in games and stuff. So there's a physical aspect, but then there also You have to vote someone else off the island
there's
every single episode.
Aspect, there's a social.
There's a
aspect.
Social game. There's an you have and to outwit, outlast, and outplay every other person.
But like, you can only use the things that you can find on the island or something. Like, what's the point of it being on an island?
Because you're not given any food. You're basically given like a spear maybe to go catch fish. You're maybe given a little bowl of rice every once in a while. You have to make your own shelter, so you're miserable every night. You know, when it's raining and stuff. So it's the elements involved is what why it's on an island.
I think I would do very poorly on Survivor.
Why? And explain to Tazo.
I don't know. Like I'm not big into like camping and shit. I don't know.
But you're a lifeguard.
Yeah, I mean, I used to be a lifeguard, but I had all my – I would bring my shit with me. I mean, I guess the weirdest thing is I would have to pee and shit in that little box on the beach during the day. That's camping-ish.
Okay. Yeah,
but
be
like,
prepared.
Be prepared. Like, live off the island and stuff? I don't know if I could – I think I would just get – I would get bummed about it too quickly and not want to do
bummed
it.
Bummed about what, being hungry and stuff? You're fighting for $1 million. You have a 1 in 18 chance of winning $1 million.
That's a lot of money.
Not even that much money anymore.
What are you talking about? It's $1 million.
I mean, even for like $100,000,
we could totally get Jack Black to come play Jumanji with us.
$100,000 in my head sounds like more money than $1 million.
Because it's more realistic.
Because you're dyslexic or something. There's another zero there. It's a whole other digit.
I definitely don't think I would do good at the like social espionage part of it.
Ironically, the people that, you know, kind of are there chilling in the back, not really talking, they usually get the farthest because
they get ignored for
longer.
Yeah,
essentially people are like, oh, well, I don't have to worry about them. And then the best is when people like that then all of a sudden turn it on in the last several episodes where they're like, oh, actually, this was my plan the whole time, just chilling out, and now no one noticed me, and now here I am, and now I go into high gear.
I feel like I would just want to help everyone else with their shit.
Well, that's a strategy, too. People help out, like, oh, I'm going to be the provider. I'm going to, you know, go spearfish for everyone, or I'm going to go make fire going, because fire is a big deal. Like, if no one knows how to make fire, you're fucked for, you know, warmth and for food. So anyway, you could be that person.
Could be that person, I guess. So I would secretly do well?
I think you have a shot at doing well, yes.
Yeah, what is your perspective on my personality? Would I work on Survivor?
I do think that you would work for the reasons kind of we're saying now is that, you know, yeah, like you'd maybe be a little more reserved at the beginning and stuff, and people maybe wouldn't see you as a threat, even though you definitely would help them out in challenges. So they would keep you around being like, okay, well, we got to keep Omar around. Because he helps us out in these challenges so much. You know, we can't just vote him out. And he doesn't seem like a big threat in the game. Then all of a sudden, I do think you're smarter than you look. You know, no offense. I mean, people say that about me too. You know.
Well, yeah, we're talking about Mensa Ryan. Yeah.
So I think that at a certain point, you could maybe then all of a sudden turn on and start making big moves, as they call it, and blindsiding people and getting them out when they're at least expecting it.
Okay. And you just know this too. I always do very poorly in games like Werewolves and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Are there people who look as smart as they are, and are there people who look smarter than they are? Do I look smarter than I actually am, or do I look like I would be as smart as about as I look?
Based on that statement alone, I feel like you're about
you
as smart
like
as you look.
You look like you spell better than you're than as intelligent as you are. That was a question, right?
What?
That was just tying it back. That was a callback to a previous question. that didn't really make any sense. Anyway, I think this is the end of the podcast. Omar, you've been a great guest.
Thanks. Well, thank
I've
you.
I've learned so much.
That was
so much,
that was
about
so,
you.
Much so quickly.
I know. We pack it in here. In the hour on the FH pod. But yeah, Lindsay, what are you going to be doing next time?
Guess we'll have to see. You'll have to tune in and see.
Yeah, that was a test.
Yeah.
No spoilers.
No, there's no plan. It's
Monday.
A long time.
Yeah.
I got almost 2 weeks. What are you talking about?
Almost 2 weeks.
I know. I'm putting you on the spot
One
there.
Week.
Everyone, thanks a lot for watching the Funhouse Podcast. I've been Ryan and
Lindsay.
And this has been
Omar.
See you next time. Peace.